"What exactly is pork barreling?" says my 9-year-old to me the other day. And I tried to give a nuanced response. I'm not quite sure I did that well, but it got me thinking about the origins of some of these words. Do they start here? Have they come from overseas? And what ones do we hear more of during an election cycle here in Australia? Well, lucky for you and I, there are people keeping an eye on this. One of those people is Mark Gwynn, senior researcher at the Australian National Dictionary Centre based here in Canberra. Hello to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Georgia.
Are you like me picking the words as they roll off their tongues going, oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You don't hear many of these words that regularly, but come election time, they're rolled out either in a derogatory way or in a way to make the candidate or the opposition leader or the prime minister sound better than they might be. So there's a mix of words, and everything counts now because we're listening so closely. Hence that whole gaffe thing. I mean, gaffe's probably not a word we hear that regularly, but you know, we pick up on small nuances of language more so than we usually do.
It's interesting you say we're listening more closely. See, I think you are. I think they're trying to get our attention in case we're switching off by using some of these quite emotive or evocative ones. Can we talk about pork barreling, and was there ever pork involved?
Oh, there certainly was. So it's originally a US term, pork barrel, and like many words, it started out with a positive sense. And I mean, it was literally a barrel where salted pork was kept. And I mean, it became seen as a place, a resource, a sense of, you know, this is my wealth, this is my, you know, where I get my food from. And in the 19th century, this slowly was used as not only a positive thing, but a negative thing, that it was where you could use the funds of the government to, you know, to use it in the electorate, or to use it to get you elected, basically, get you re-elected. And I mean, I suppose it was seen as a positive for the people that you were providing money to, but in the case of the national funds, that a lot of people missed out.
So that was an American term, but now that is heard a lot. You're also keeping an eye on words that are being used. How do you do that, and why are you doing that?
Well, we like to record Australian words of Australian origin or that are significant in Australia. And there are quite a lot of Australian terms related to elections, like donkey vote. People know about the donkey vote, where you just go and vote 1 down to 10 when you're doing your preferential vote without any thinking. In America, they might call that the middle finger vote, but without actually a preferencing vote. But
why the donkey? So, why out of all the animals do we say donkey?
Well, the poor old donkey's been considered or been alluded to as stupid for a very long time. You just have to think of some cartoons and stories. I mean, I haven't met too many donkeys in my life, so I can't really vouch for how silly or stupid they are.
Democracy sausage, one of my favourite aspects of any election campaign. Is this an Australian thing?
Yeah, it certainly is. And that one started around 10 years ago, and it initially was linked to a few websites. There was initially a Snag Votes and then this Democracy Sausage site that alerted us to where we could get a sausage sizzle, or, you know, a sausage in a sandwich at the polling station. So, you know, if you wanted to go down to this school rather than that school because you knew there was a sausage sizzle down there. And we've even collected terms like democracy pizza and democracy cake. But I think democracy sausage is usually the favourite, I think.
Drongo, I've already heard drongo already. It seems to be a favourite of politicians in question time to call someone else a drongo occasionally. So is that's very Australian though, isn't it, drongo?
Oh, it certainly is. We recorded that from the late 30s, and it was originally a horse. There was this horse that was a very good horse. Unfortunately, it never won. It was always second or third. So that was transferred over to someone that you know, wasn't that great or couldn't quite make it. But now it's even more negative than that, I think. I think the opposition leader used it in Parliament recently, hence it's got a little bit more traction recently.
I think he's used it more than once, I would have to say. The pub test, which is something we're quite fond of here because we do it as a part of a regular segment that Anna Vito does on a Friday. But the pub test, is that a international thing or just Australia?
There is some evidence of its use in the UK, but you know, in that sort of phrase, you know, would he or she pass the pub test, or would this policy pass the pub test? That looks more Australian. It's certainly more frequent here. John Howard actually used to use it quite a bit in the 1990s. And, you know, he would sort of suggest that someone, if you walked into a pub and had a talk with a group of people there in a casual, relaxed environment, would it pass that group of people? And so in that sense, it's used especially in Australia.
I think they've got to be a bit careful, politicians going to pubs, just like ad hoc, where they haven't worked out who's there beforehand. So I think the pub test in person is not working well on most election campaigns. You just mentioned John Howard. Was it John Howard that started the incentivise using that?
Oh, no, look, we can't blame John Howard for that. I mean, these words we love to hate, and I'm not meant to hate words. But that one,
you're not allowed to hate words.
No, well, there's certainly a few I do. But, look, this one goes back to the 1960s, really, and, you know, used in marketing and sort of used in the corporate world and by employers about their employees, how to incentivize them to work harder. And then it kind of makes its way into other areas. So, yeah.
Mark, that we're just a couple of minutes away from the news, but other words that we can expect to hear that are quite Australian?
Well, yeah, there's quite a few. Actually, there's a few new ones we've picked up, like the teal independence.
Yes.
And so that's an interesting use of the colour, teal. I mean, I had to go and work out what colour that was. It didn't kind of ring any bells.
Well, between blue and green is the inference, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So that's being used now of these particular independents in some of these seats. And they're mostly women, and they're running on a climate change policy, amongst other things, against some of the sitting Liberal members. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. We'll probably hear a lot more about rorts. Both sides of politics like to claim that the other side's using a rort, and that's an Australian term for some sort of fraudulent act, and that goes back to the 1940s. So that one always comes out. We'll get more of a fair go, I reckon. We haven't heard fair go.
Fair go. Fair shake of the sauce bottle.
That's right.
That would be
Dinkum.
Kevin Rudd. Oh, fair Dinkum. All those are so interesting. We'll have another chat to you though before this election campaign's gone and see which other ones we hear some from. So thanks so much, Mark.
Great, Georgia. Thanks.
That is Mark Gwynne there. He's from the Australian National Dictionary Centre, which is based at ANU.